Okay. This morning we're going to finish up our series called Re, and I'm going to explain that a little bit. Re literally means, it's a prefix that goes on the beginning of the word, it means again and again. So whatever you put it in front of just means that you want to do that again. And so we've worked through over the last 5 weeks different re words, from refresh to refocus to recommit to realignment. Because during this season, we've entered into a season of prayer and fasting and setting ourselves aside and starting afresh and allowing God to start 2017 with Him being the central focus. And so in coming to the end of that and coming to the end of the 21 days of prayer and fasting today, not that prayer or fasting have to end and only have to be during this period of time. And so with that, I'm going to close out our series with a new re-word called remain. Like, I think one of the most dangerous things that we can do is coming off of like really a time of settling yourself before God and getting into His Word and being intentional about saying no to things and yes to Jesus. Like, they're almost like, we feel like, you know, kind of like a sprint. Like, we're into the 21 days, and then we finish the 21 days, and we're like, whoo, that's done. And some of you guys are going to blow it up today, like eating whatever sugar that you haven't been able to eat or, you know, whatever that is. Like, some of you right now, that's all you're thinking about, and I'm sorry that I even brought it up. But my encouragement today, and we're going to be in John 15, my encouragement today is that the greatest thing that we can do is not just restart and refresh, but the greatest thing that we can do is remain.
Amen.
And so what I'm going to go through is probably, I mean, if you've ever heard, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you've ever heard that text, that's what I'm preaching out of today. And I just encourage you to kind of wipe thoughts away of what you think and what you perceive. Because sometimes when we look into text that we've looked at before, maybe over, again and again and again, we assume that we've got everything that we need out of that. That God has spoken clearly, and He might have on some things. But I believe that God wants to really press in on us. So remaining is to continue in the same state. This is the definition of remaining. To continue to be as specified, to stay behind or in the same place. Like, that's what we want to do. Like, what I want us to do leaving this series and leaving our 21 days of prayer and fasting is realizing the best place that we can be in is remaining what we've just started. And so some synonyms for remaining are tarrying. Do y'all use that? I'm just going to be tarrying for a little bit. Like, I don't use that, but you might. Waiting, or a word abiding, which is what we're going to be talking about today. And I've been listening to some different audiobooks. I don't know about you, but like I like noise in the background, and stories kind of lead me. And I feel like I read it. Someone read it to me, and it was great. For all you guys that like struggle like reading paper, like audiobooks are great. They'll read to you. And your Bible app will do that also, just saying. And there was in this, I read this, I listened to this book called SEAL Team 6. Is about this guy and his experience of going through all the training to get there. And there was this quote, and you're going to be like, whoa, Heath. There's this quote. There's no bad words in it. Calm down. There's this quote that he said over and over again, and I kept, every time I hear it, I was like, oh, I need to write that down. And I remember kind of, and I Googled. Google's great. You know, you can find out all kinds of things, even things that you don't want to know. And George Patton, at least that's who said where this phrase originated. He says, the more you sweat in peacetime, the less you bleed in war. Let me say that again. The more you sweat in peace, the less you bleed in war. And that was kind of their mantra, because their training is what made them who they were. That's what made the SEAL Team 6 is the elite of the elite. Like, SEAL Team is a very elite group, and SEAL Team 6 is like, the only 1% of SEALs make it into that rank. And I know you're like, he? Okay. peace, love, joy. You didn't say anything about war. You may not know this, and Jesus talks about it all the time. We're at war. Like, your family is at war. Not meaning like people are outside your door, let me in, I'm going to destroy you. Like, I mean, maybe, I don't know about, you know, where you live or things that are going on in your neighborhood, but for the most part, physically, we're not at war, meaning like someone's not going to kick in our door, someone's not going to necessarily take away our children, but the world and the enemy are literally at war for your children. Like, I see these babies in here, and you know, you think, look, I'm telling you, we're at war for our children. And the older they get, the more you realize how much we're at war. And so, like, I say this to parents that have young kids, like, the more you sweat now, the less you'll bleed later. The more we focus, I mean, because here's the danger of, and I really think here's the danger of the American church, is that it seems like we're at peace. And when we're at peace, we kind of get lazy. I mean, we'll see it. This is why in January everybody's like, I need to do better. Because we got lazy. And I really believe that the more you'll be intentional, I mean, sweat it. I mean, have a training regimen. Like Paul literally says, I beat my body into submission. So at the end of this, I won't discredit the name of Jesus. The more you sweat in peace, the less you bleed in war. We're at war, and like we want, I want to not scare you into like being aggressive, but I want to get you in a position that you realize that the most important thing that you do is abiding. Because where you abide, and when you do it well, you thrive. Your marriage, your relationship thrives. Your children thrive. And we're going to go into John 15. And before we get there, Jesus, for the most part, almost always speaks to a culture that understands Jewish ideas. Almost all the people that he talked to, even when he sent out his 72, for those that have been reading the one-year Bible, he told them, don't go into Samaria, don't go to the house of Israel. And part of that, when you know, if you're not careful, you read that and be like, does God not love the, because we're Gentiles, just saying. Like, unless you're Jewish descent, most of us in here are Gentiles. And really, he was doing that because that was what God demanded, that he would go to the house first, knowing that the house was going to reject him, and that he would go to us. And this is why we're here today. And so, just so we understand there, because we don't think about what Jesus is going to talk about, but all the hearers of John 15 understood. And there's several other references that reference this, but in Isaiah 27, verse 2 and 3, it says, in that day, a pleasant vineyard, sing of it. I, the Lord, am its keeper. Every moment I water it, lest anyone punish it, I keep it night and day. So like the hearers of what we're getting ready to talk to out of John 15 understand that Jesus, this reference of God being the vine dresser and being connected to the vine. And so before we get into word, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that this morning, Lord, there is hope to be had in you. Lord, we praise you that this morning that every chain can be loosed from us. We can be free to love you and experience you. And there is nothing that keeps us from abiding in you, to being connected to the vine, because you've done what is necessary for that. And so we rest in your finished, completed work on the cross for our soul and our salvation and our righteousness and our justification. And Lord, right now we just rest in that. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us see our part of staying connected to you getting our life blood. And Lord, I pray that the fruit of this would change not only our world and our lives, but those around us. So thank you for your word. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, some of this, like I said, is going to be familiar, and I'm going to deal with a little concerns if you've ever read this, talking about, it's all pretty. Like, abiding is great until it talks about cutting things off and throwing it in a fire and burning it. Like, that gets like this is a great text until you get there and you're like, everybody gets a little nervous. So there's a little nail biting, like, is it going to get warm? Okay, so chapter 15, starting in verse 1, it says, I am the true vine. Meaning there's other things that we can connect to, other things that we can try to plug into to get our life and our purpose. And Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. First thing I want to kind of deal with this morning is the idea that God, in his divine mercy, disciplines us and prunes us to make us more fruitful, to help us experience more joy. Hebrews 12:6 says, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. The opposite is that if you're not getting disciplined, if you never get smacked on the hand, not that God's like... like, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if there's not things that just check you and like I feel like there's something going on, then the reverse of that is that you may not be a son. But the problem is the sons, and I have children, and you know, they don't wake up in the morning and be like, hey, Father, I would like you to discipline me because I feel like I have issues in my life that I want you to, you know, get out of me. No, they're like, and they roll their eyes, which they say they don't. Any in here? Okay. They've all disappeared. They're in the back. So I can talk freely about them. And, you know, the problem with that is that, you know, we think when things happen, when we get corrected, when someone in authority says, hey, this isn't okay, and they correct, like, we feel like, oh, you know, God doesn't love me because things are happening. The truth is that God loves us so much that he doesn't allow us to stay in an unfruitful place, and he will prune. Pruning isn't fun, but it is purposeful. Like, that is what God is doing in and through us. And I just want to dispel that. Like, if you're going through a hard time and you feel like, man, you know, like God is just whacking me. Like, he doesn't ever out of, like, I'll just be honest. You know, as a parent, we have times that we don't rightly go, like, I'm going to teach my children a great lesson that they're going to learn from. We respond out of anger. Or maybe just me. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to put you all in my boat, but like, we say things and do things that we don't want to. See, God the Father isn't like that. He doesn't get moody. He doesn't get tired. Like, he isn't watching a TV show and gets interrupted, and that bothers him. Somebody told me that story, and it just stuck with me, and I feel like it's me, but not sure. I mean, like, that isn't him. Like, his every, it's like a surgeon. Like, the... You know, okay, let me throw myself under the bus. I have a, and here I'm going to let you in a little bit about me, and this is personal. Daniel know it. Okay, so I go through phases where I really get into things. If you know me well, you've probably seen some of those phases, and you just deal with it. And, like, it's great. But when I first moved here, I don't know if it's like this whole thing. I wanted to get into bonsai trees. Okay, whatever. I think they're cool. I still think they're cool. I just can't keep them alive. And so I bought one. I named him George. George lived for about 3 months, and he died. And I thought, I can do this. Okay, just one. Okay. And so then I started going to Lowe's, and you can spend like $5 and get these junipers. And you could, you know, like prune them. I got little, you know, stuff. And I watched lots of videos. I mean, lots of videos. The first time, y'all came and hang out for us one weekend. Like, literally, I sit around. I had wire. Like, I was in it. Like, I loved it. Like, it was like, I saw it. I talked about it. I watched videos and how, and I did everything wrong. It's like, never take off more than 50% foliage off of anything if you wanted to live. I was like, I made them things beautiful from the beginning. They were beautiful for about a week, then they dried up and died. Or they're like, don't cut, you know, that much foliage off of it and then repot it into a smaller pot. I'm impatient. Like, bonsai trees aren't for me. Like, I want somebody. I did make one. Okay. I gave him this gift. I have one still surviving. So if you ever go to Chris and Eileen's, everybody that takes the armor of God, you know, when you walk through her kitchen, you look in the window, one out of like 15 lived. So I don't know if it like breathed a sigh of relief when it left my house and it's like, this woman looks nice and I don't think she'll cut me anymore and I may live. And, you know, but the problem is like an idiot, I'm like, I got the special scissors, wrap it with, and it died. Like, God isn't like, let's just, woo, let's cut. Like, God is literally going, okay, I need to remove this one thing. And I believe that over the last 21 days, God surgically began to remove or make you aware of things in your life that he's like, okay, it's time to let this go. It's time to, like, I'm just telling you, I've had conversations with people in this church, like, there's something that has stirred in you over this last 21 days that you're like, I like that. And what I want today is I want us to go, you can have that ongoing. And not just in a season of fasting, but literally staying connected already. Verse 3, it says, already. Okay, so verse 2, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, which I'm going to deal with in a little bit. In every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear fruit. And you go, okay. Verse 3, it says, already you are cleaned because of the word I have spoken to you. Here's the beauty. Let me give you a little gospel in the middle of this. Songs are perfect today. The beauty is that right now, if you've confessed and believed in Jesus, the word that he has already spoken over you has eternally pruned you and make you connected to the vine. Amen. Already. Like, that's, like, because I read a lot of commentaries on this scripture, and like, three is kind of a, like, it's like, oh, you got to abide, you got to connect, and it's like, but you're already clean. But like, clean. Like, the moment you say yes, like, if you don't know Jesus at all, other than what you hear today, and at the end of today, you say yes to Jesus, cleaned, pruned, connected, not perfect, not finished pruning, but you're connected to the vine. John 5:24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes them who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. I mean, that is the beauty of Jesus. In the verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let me read that again. Abide in me and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit by itself. I'm telling you, this is the danger of not abiding. Is that we feel like sometimes, like we said yes to the Lord, he just cleans us and he makes us pure and like something changes in us. And then we go, okay, I got this. And then we go into crazy. Like we don't want to connect, not because we don't want to, but because we feel like he did it, he cleaned me. But like the life is coming from being connected to the vine. In verse 5 it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Like if you're hitting a wall, if you feel unsuccessful in your kingdom advancement, you feel unsuccessful in your progressing with Jesus, most likely your issue is that you're not abiding in Jesus, which is easily corrected. Like, easily corrected. Okay, and we have a little lesson here, and this is not thorough. You can Google this and find out so much more information. But in verse 6, it says, If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Like in all of this, this is where you don't want to be. And so this raises the question, can I be connected to the Father and lose that? No. Now, the connection is important, because the danger is that you can seem like you're connected. Judas was one of them, but not one of them. There was a lot of imposters that surrounded the vine, that were near the vine, but they were never connected to the vine. Okay, so here's some other scripture that talk about this, and there's a lot that refer to this. The key is, did you connect? If you, and I'm not talking about, did you go to church one day, and did you raise your hand and say, yes, I believe, but then, there was no change, but if you connected to the Father, if you've received Him and He is changing you, not that you're perfect, okay, I'm not perfect yet, and neither one of us, the closest perfection is Chris and Eileen here. I'm just saying, if you're not already,
we're the oldest.
Well, no. If you're not already in a small a community group, armor of God. I'm telling you, you got to rub shoulders with these people, and they're my in-laws. That's a big deal, not just because I'm trying to get brownie points, but. So here we go. Jesus said in John 37 and 39, it says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise up it on the last day." In other words, God has a people before they come to Jesus, that God is calling people to Jesus. "Yours they were, and you gave them to me," John 17:6, "and they came, all of them. All that the Father gives me will come to me," John 6:37. "And when they come, He will never cast them out," verse 37. Again, it says, "I lose nothing of all that the Father has given me," 6:39, "nothing, not one branch." Or, Jesus said in John 10:27-28, "My sheep," which we, Daniel said just a minute ago, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That's how you know they are sheep. You want to be a sheep, by the way. "If they are not His sheep, they don't believe." John 10:26 says, "You do not believe because you are not among my sheep. But all the sheep do come. And those who belong to the Father, He gives to the Son. And they come, and when they come," in John 10:28, it says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand," including the vine dresser. Because I feel like sometimes we're we love Jesus. God's scary. Jesus ended that. I think it was Philip. Philip's just show us the Father and we'll get it. And he's like, "How long have you been around me that you don't realize that I and the Father are one? And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So we don't even have fear of the vine dresser because they're one. John 10:30. So that's a side note. I encourage you, because that's something that you just need to settle. Because you can read verses like this, because there are seasons. I know some of you may have gardens. How many people garden? and it fruits, and like you get something out of it. Like we've tried to garden, it doesn't work out very well. So for those that don't garden and don't realize that there are seasons, like you're not getting tomatoes year-round, unless you've got a greenhouse and you're working it. But for the most of us, there's seasons. So the danger is when we're out of the season, like we've seen fruit in your life. The danger is that during that season where you're being rebuilt to have more fruit, that in the middle you're like, I'm not fruitful. You know, and you read verses like this and be like, I'm about to be cut off and thrown into the fire. Realize that everything's in a season. Look past now, because it comes back. And I'm telling you, over 22 years, there's lots of points in my life that when you get in that kind of hollowed out space that you just feel like, oh my gosh, like, is there something wrong with me? And then you have conversations with other people and realize that it happens to every one of us, because everything bears its fruit in its season. Now, sometimes those low parts are for us to realize that we need more of Jesus. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and this one's key, and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove that you are my disciples. Now here is key. The bearing of fruit doesn't earn you a spot as a disciple. Because there's a lot in our American culture that's like, you know, you do whatever and then you earn salvation. It says, and so prove, meaning that you are already a disciple, but your actions are showing everyone else that I am a disciple. It doesn't make you a disciple. I am working on memorizing Scripture. Because I am slack about that, and I feel like God for the last couple years, and good friends of mine that have helped encourage this. And so, like, I carry these little cards around with me the last 2 weeks, and I look like a crazy man, you know, talking to myself in the coffee shop, repeating these. But one of these, and I won't try to show any of my skills yet, not that, you know, I want to show off or anything, but, like, one of mine is this, okay? So, have the word abide in you. So you want the word in you so that you can be at war. Like when you're at war, when Jesus was being like pressed by Satan, when he was fasting for 40 days, all he did is give him the word. Like Jesus could have gone crushed. And like he could have crushed his head right then. He had that power. Like there, he didn't have to, because all he needed was the word, because he's trying to show us like it is us. So one of mine, Galatians 5:22-23. You might be like, well, you know, not many of us. I mean, maybe you're wearing fruit balloons. I don't know. Don't raise your hand. But not many of us are like just going to sprout fruit. It'd be really weird. Kind of would like to see it. Just saying. So if that does happen. Anyway. Sorry. Okay. So you might think to yourself, you know, like, well, you know, what does that look like? So then you have the word that shows you. So in Galatians 5:22-23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, okay, here we go, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So in this, when we connect to the Father, we produce fruit. And that fruit, I mean, who doesn't want love and joy and peace and patience and kindness? Some of the wives are like, you need some of that fruit, boy. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Come on. Like, that's what is produced. And some of you are like, ugh. Like, God's working that in you. Like, any discipline you're getting is so that you will live in this place. Like, what God has to give you is better than anything else that you can get access to. Amen. It's better than any drug, because the drug ends. Like, you know, the infatuation with someone else, it ends. Not love for a spouse, but like this, you know, whatever. But like what Jesus gives us, it doesn't end. It is ongoing. There's another one. I'm just going to have to read this to you. I haven't memorized it yet, but it's one of my new favorite. It's in here somewhere. Just kidding. It's over here. Oh, there we go. Okay, check this out. Check this out. This is good right here. And you can steal this and make it one of your new favorite verses. Psalm 16:11. Listen. For you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. Like in his, a fullness, not like a little bit. I'm talking about a fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Like there is nothing else that satisfies. And if you allow his word to abide in you, it will change your life. Because every time I feel like I'm going to get my joy from something else, I can go in his presence is where my joy is going to come from. At his right hand is where my pleasure will be forevermore. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Like, that's big. Like, God the Father loved God the Son. Like, that love, he, Jesus, is loving us. And he's saying, abide in my love. Like, not abide in my misery. I think sometimes we look at the Christian life and we go, oh, it's just like we don't get to do this, we don't get to do that. Like, this is the reality. Like, abide in my love. It says, if you keep my commands, you will abide in my love just as I keep my Father's command and abide in his love. Which we're not going to verse 12, but I'm just going to go ahead and give you verse 12 because you're like, I think sometimes we like commands and it's like, there's so many, like I don't know what to do. Simple. Jesus figured it out for you that we need simple. John 15:12, it says this, that was country, sorry. I am from Carthage, it happens. This is my command, okay? That you love one another as I have loved you. Simple. But here's the hard, simple part of it, is that you cannot love one another like he has loved us without abiding in his love. Because when we abide in his love, when we get how much we have been loved, it is easy to love the unlovable. And that person could live in your house. But it is easy, I'm talking about your children or your dog, not your spouse, okay? Some people look at me like that is not the appropriate time to elbow your spouse. But all he's saying is like that you get, like all you have to do is love others. Like literally, he says, what is the greatest commandment? It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he's already settled through his other parables who our neighbor is, which is anyone that we have contact with. Someone injured on the side of the road, like we saw with the Samaritan. Verse 11. It says, these things I have spoken to you. Like, so what he's giving us, he's telling you why. He says, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Like, you're crazy if you're in this room and you don't want to be full of joy. I mean, like, real joy, not happiness. Like, that, not that momentary stuff when you do that final click on Amazon and you know in 2 days. I'm just going to have a confession. I don't think I've ordered anything in Amazon in like a month and a half. I mean, like, tonight I'll fall into Amazon purgatory, but I mean, I've been good. Like, I even have an Amazon gift card that I can spend, and you don't know how. Like, I just wash it away. Philippians 3:12-4. And this is something that we need to understand, because I think in this. You're like, yes, I want that. Yes, I want that. But you feel that you're so far away from it that you don't get it. This is Paul. And he's saying that, you know, all this perfection. He says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. And this is Paul, who I would say in the New Testament is the closest to perfection that you're going to see of a person's character and gifting and calling and obedience. But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me, which is some of the best advice that I can give you. Like, you can only go forward if you'll let go of what happened yesterday. Our biggest issue is the enemy wants to lock you in and anchor you down to something in your past when God is going, I'm giving you a new future. In verse 14 it says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So here's three things to do in the days ahead that you can repeat over and over again. One is connect. Two is depend, and three is remain. Connect, abiding in Jesus, first of all, meaning having a life-giving connection with Him. And if you're iffy there, like, community group is a great place to get around other people so you can just go, like, how do you do it? Again, I'm just going to tell you, there's not a pattern that works for everybody. I think one of the most dangerous things is we can see someone and we try to emulate exactly what they do, and that's not how God's made you. But like, some of the key things of connecting is reading the Word, prayer, service, connecting to the Father. Depend, and this is a big one because I think we're so independent, is abiding also implies dependence. This aspect of abiding, unlike connecting, is not reciprocal. The branch is dependent on the vine. But the vine is not dependent on the branch. The branch derives its life and power from the vine. Without the vine, the branch is useless, lifeless, and powerless. So it may mean, like, maybe for a week, just hang out in John 15, 1 through 11. So you get, like, you get it into your head that it doesn't happen. Like, connected to the vine, and I like you here at church, but connected to the vine does not mean I go to church and I'm connected to the vine. Connected to the vine means that you connect to the source. Like, we want to be a place that we're connecting you to the source, and this is a great environment to have that happen, but it is not the end of connection. You have to be dependent on Jesus. And the last one is remaining. Abiding also means remaining. The fact, abide, in Greek means meno, M-E-N-O, which means to remain or to stay or to continue. To abide is to reside. To abide is to continue, to stay, to remain. This simply means that we go on trusting, we keep on depending, and we never stop believing. This is what Jesus is talking about in John 8, 31 and 32 when he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I want to end with this quote again from George Patton. The more you sweat in peace, the less you bleed in war. Fight for it. If you want a good marriage and you want healthy kids, it's not going to happen outside of you being connected to the vine. Go ahead and have our worship team come back up. And so what does that mean for you today? That means, one, if you're not connected to the Father, if that's unsure, and I'm not talking about like the uneasiness that comes with feeling with how you feel, but like, you've not made a personal commitment to the Father. You've not believed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. you can connect, and then you can remain. I mean, literally, right now, you could, during our last worship song, go, Lord, I have ruined my life by trying to do it my own way, and I need you. Lord, I believe that you sent your son to die the death that belonged to me, live the life that I could not, and completely pay the penalty for my sin on the cross so that right now I can have life. And this fullness of life that he's talking about is given to you right now as a gift. All you have to do is to call out to Jesus. And if you're already a child of God, you cannot be disconnected from the vine. But you can be more fruitful by improving the connection. And so if your life does not consist of being in the Word, find a way. And just from personal experience, I don't like to work out by myself because I'm lazy. Just to be honest. I like other people to be there because it makes me be there, and then I show up and I work out or I run or do whatever. Almost every life experience crosses over into spiritual things. If you struggle in that, the best way to fix it is find one other person and say, can we hold each other accountable? Can we like meet for, you know, 15, 20 minutes a week and just talk about, you know, and ask, are you reading? Or what are you reading? What is God speaking to you? Like, that is life-changing. Like, it changes you when you get someone else that's asking you. Like, I've started, and my phone 7 times a day goes off to read my verses. And I'd love to say that I've done it every time. Yesterday, just got busy. I only read one time. But I have a good friend of mine, Daniel, that, you know, I've invited him into asking me. And he asked me, and I love that. And it changes you when you have people that are asking you what's going on, not in a negative way. Like, it's okay to say, like, I had a horrible week and I didn't read, but it changes us when we connect, because that is the only place that we will be fruitful. And I want you to be fruitful, because when you're fruitful, your life is better. And when your life is better, your family is better and your kids are better, and our community will get better, and our church will get healthier, and our neighborhood will get healthier, and Leland will be transformed by people who are experiencing the joy that they've always wanted. So I want you to have that. And as we go into our last song of worship, Lord, I just encourage you to cry out to God. Like, David was not afraid to express how he was feeling. If that means that you got to get angry because things are going on, just let it out. Because God is not afraid of what he already knows that's going on in your heart. He literally says when we speak our prayers, like, he already knew what was going on inside of us. And so one of the most healthy things we can do is just let it out. And in the end, trust that his word is true. And maybe it may be for you this week that you find one verse that's truth to you that you need to hear over and over again, and you get your little index cards. They are cheap. And you put it in your back pocket, and you carry it around, and you read it, put it in your car, stick it on your mirror at home, and believe that word over you, because that's the voice of God declaring who you are. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you that you have not left us on our own. You have not, you know, started this divine hamster wheel rolling, and we're just meant to keep the wheel spinning. But Lord, that you, in your love and mercy, have decided that in us, you're going to do everything to lead us to your joy and to your peace and your patience and your goodness and your faithfulness and your kindness. And we want that. Lord, I want that. Lord, I want to see it. I want to know it. I want to feel it. And Lord, we trust that when your word said that the only way that happened is that we connected and abide and remain in you, that that's exactly what I'm going to do. And so, Lord, we just acknowledge that it may seem like peacetime, but we're at war with an enemy that wants to consume our family and destroy our marriages and to rob us of our children. And Lord, we just want to take it back. And Lord, we don't even have to be strong to do that because we have you. And so Lord, we love you and trust you. And Lord, if there's anyone in this room that just needs a fresh fill of your Holy Spirit, maybe even for the first time, Lord, I pray that, Lord, as they speak, as their heart is open, Lord, that you would pour out afresh, Lord, that they would taste and see that you are good. And Lord, we thank you that today is a new day, and tomorrow, Lord, you have mercies anew for us. So, Lord, we run to you, our strong tower. We trust in you, not in chariots or horses, but we trust in your name, who we pray all of these things in, Jesus. Amen.